Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Looking at the whole topic of politics, you know, one of those things you're never supposed to talk about, right? Politics and religion. Be hard for me not to talk about religion with a program like mine. And it'd be hard for me to not talk about politics, the direction that the political world is going these days, with the influence of, I think, the most dangerous influence being that of far left-wing progressive Christians, so-called, going hand-in-hand with far left-wing progressive politicians and such, kind of using each other in a marriage made for hell, if you will. But I promise I will not be talking about politics forever. In fact, mostly on my program, I like to deal with cults, the occult, New Age, UFOs, and stuff that's a lot stranger than just our present politics, if you can believe it. And I know some of my regulars would believe that. But we have been looking at, over the last several weeks, the midterm elections here in America, and some of the different events surrounding that. We've looked at the anniversary of Jonestown 40 years ago, dating up to, I believe it was November of 2018, was the 40th anniversary of Jonestown, the followers of the Jonestown cult, Jim Jones, and where his life intersected with Harvey Milk and other Democratic liberals of the time in the San Francisco area after Jim Jones brought his cult from Indiana to California. And so we've looked at both one of the survivors in the past, commented on a lady that I heard speak, Laura Johnston Cole, telling of her experiences within the cult and some of her liberal activist activities before and after the cult experience. And her involvement now with the Quakers, who openly welcome atheists, of which she is one. And that's why I continue to say pray for Laura Johnston Cole, as she also has cancer and needs our prayers. I have never met the woman. I asked her a question when she spoke locally at the university. But you know, like all people who claim to not believe in a God, and her being in an organization which at one time would have claimed to believe in a God, it's a very strange world that we live in, and one where the pathway for Antichrist is being paved. And speaking of being paved, I quoted one of my favorite old expressions that I hadn't heard or used for years last week. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. There's a lot of activists and social justice warriors and social gospel preachers and such who really mean well. They think that, you know, just like Proverbs tells us, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are death. Well, the secular version of that quote, really, I think, is the road to hell is paved with good intentions, paving your way to hell. And it's not really a funny topic or a funny thing to talk about, of course, but it's true. There's many people that are going to be very surprised one day when God's going to say, I never knew you. You know, get away from me. You workers of iniquity. So for those who believe they're doing good, who are actually promoting what will turn out to be the Antichrist's plan and program in bringing some kind of a socialist one-world government to this world, as opposed to letting the true Messiah bring the millennial reign, his millennial reign, in the future. So anyway, I want to go back to the book Cult City that I was commenting on, the author Daniel Flynn. I went through a couple of interviews that were done with him, including an email interview which I read from last week as well. And I want to look at a couple more things I have concerning Daniel Flynn and his book Cult City, and his own words about his book when it recently just came out. This is from the American Spectator, their blog. The Spectacle blog, it's called. Cult City comes out today by Daniel J. Flynn, October 15th, 2018, a few months ago, a couple months ago. Today marks the day, I have been waiting 10 years for. Cult City, Jim Jones, Harvey Milk, and 10 Days That Shook San Francisco officially becomes available for purchase a few hours ago. I toiled over my sixth book off and on for the last decade. That's a record for me, and one that I hope I never surpass. But anyway, he goes on to say, the writing came mostly in my attic. The research primarily took place at the California Historical Society, San Francisco Public Library, and Library of Congress. So he did his homework, folks. He didn't just have some political axe to grind. He did the research that was needed to write the book that he's been waiting for 10 years to be available to the public. I interviewed about 30 eyewitnesses to history, including one of three people still with us, and one of just nine total, and one of just nine total 40 years ago in Jonestown when the killing began, to live to tell the tale. Dan White's chief of staff, who detailed a startling confession of violence that his boss made to him, and former friends and rivals of Harvey Milk, who shared his homosexuality, but not always a fondness for him. It got really interesting to me. He says the basic theme is this: before the poor drank the Kool-Aid in South America, the powerful in San Francisco did. Mentioned that last week. The same people who made Jim Jones unmade him, at least his associations with politicians, journalists, and celebrities. Many took pains to obscure the truth, which helps explain why this book comes out all these years later. The truth is never too late, and for me at least, was never so interesting. Now, the Amazon review that I have here, Cult City, Jim Jones, Harvey Milk, and 10 Days That Shook San Francisco, I want to quote a few quotes from that. The untold story of the intersecting lives of the Reverend Jim Jones and Harvey Milk, marking the 40th anniversary of the Jonestown Massacre and Milk's assassination. So, you know, that's why he decided, you know, since this took place within a, you know, around the same time. November 1978, the Reverend Jim Jones, the darling of the San Francisco political establishment, orchestrates the murders and suicides of 918 people at a remote jungle outpost in South America. Days later, Harvey Milk, one of America's first openly gay elected officials and one of Jim Jones' most vocal supporters, is assassinated in San Francisco's City Hall. This horrifying sequence of events shocked the world. Almost immediately, the lives and deaths of Jim Jones and Harvey Milk became shrouded in myth. The distortions and omissions have piled up since. Now, 40 years later, this book corrects the record. The product of a decade of research, including extensive archival work and dozens of exclusive interviews, Cult City reveals just how confused our understanding has become. In life, Jim Jones enjoyed the support of prominent politicians and Hollywood stars, even as he preached atheism and communism from the pulpit. In death, he transforms into a fringe figure, a fundamentalist Christian and a fascist. You know, this is the revisionist history of the libs I put in my notes. In life, Harvey Milk outed friends, faked hate crimes, and falsely claimed that the U.S. Navy dishonorably discharged him over his homosexuality. In death, he is honored in an Oscar-winning movie with a California state holiday and with a U.S. Navy ship named for him. His assassin, a blue-collar Democrat who often voted with Milk in support of gay issues, is remembered as a right-winger and a homophobe. There's some more revisionist history from the left. And you know, he had shared about, Flynn had shared firsthand about, from a gay friend of Milk, who, you know, Milk had abused a teenage homosexual. And anyway, he went into all the details in Janet Mefford's interview, of which I don't recall all of them. But the idea was, Harvey Milk was a homosexual, but he wasn't necessarily liked by other homosexuals. He wasn't the secular saint that he's made out to be in circles today, as the movie Milk tries to portray him. And it's very sad world we live in. And yet, deception in the last days confronts us at every turn, whether it be in religion, in politics, in fake news. And this is why we need to be into the Word of God. We need to have our minds cleansed and washed, and we need to know truth, the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to not be dismayed, but we also need not to be distracted too much by the politics and the news of today, and remembering who we belong to and how our sojourn here is short. Our lives are relatively short here on this planet, and we need to be about the Lord's business in sharing the gospel so that people can have eternal life and not put their hopes in this transient world that we live in. Now, I'll just give one reviewer from this Amazon site, and that's Rod Dreher, the man who interviewed him last week that I read some of that interview, and he said that a bold, at times shocking work of revisionist history, you know, this is good revisionist history, let's say. I was talking about the liberals' revisionist history, the false history that they made up concerning Milk and Jones and their events. But this is revisionist history, going back and correcting the errors, the intentional errors of the left and those that would have been harmed by truth. Truth won't really hurt anybody if you're willing to accept it and not be afraid of it. And not, as Romans 1, it talks about those who in unrighteousness, they hold down the truth of God. And but, you know, God says that this is the human nature, that our human nature is flawed to the point that there dwelleth no good thing in this flesh, Paul said. And Jeremiah said similar comments about the heart is wicked and deceitful. Who, above all, who can know it? Well, God knows. And we see it played out all the time in modern day society. So just realize that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, so would his coming be. Because we're living in those times, folks, where I will never set a date for the return of Christ. But sometimes I think, how can things get much worse than they are? And you see it every day in the news, in politics, in entertainment, in movies. You see the lies that are constantly told about God, about good people, about people who want to live lives, you know, instructed by the Word of God in a conservative lifestyle and good family living, etc. And so, you know, don't be deceived. Satan is a deceiver, and he's always active, he's always working. And the Bible says the world, the flesh, and the devil are the things that we, those are our three biggest enemies. And that's where we get the lies. In our minds, Satan tries to plant them. In the world, in the way the world thinks, in the entertainment industry, in the news, in the educational systems, and then our own flesh, because we can deceive ourselves and lie to ourselves. So just be aware of the battle that you're in. Put on the armor and know the Word of God, and be wary, because we're living in a time of great deception, and we're living with much deception in the last days. So, as I say, the Rod Dreher's view, he says, a bold, at times shocking work of revisionist history, I'll repeat myself, that challenges what we think we know about both Jim Jones and Harvey Milk and the murderous events that brought them to national prominence. Okay. Now, let me move to an article here. And this one is also by Daniel Flynn. It's a special report, Resurrecting the Jonestown Dead. And this, I have quite a bit of time left. This is the last article I'm going to read from here. I have some further comments and comments concerning my next little series of podcasts concerning another recent current event that I had wanted to comment on some time ago, and I've gotten bogged down in much of what has been taking place in the political world here, and also in the breakdown of my computer for a few weeks. So I am going to be wrapping up here in a few minutes. Information about Cult City by Daniel Flynn, and then looking at future podcasts. So, anyway, Resurrecting the Jonestown Dead by Daniel Flynn. This was October 19th, 2018. It says the author of a new book on Jim Jones' socialist dystopia outlines some of the delusional assessments of subsequent apologists. It says the question of how over 900 people came to kill themselves in the South American jungle animated the writing of Cult City, Jim Jones, Harvey Milk, and 10 Days That Shook San Francisco. But in trying to solve that puzzle, another puzzle, well, puzzled. How did the victims go from religious zealots in the first draft of history to left-wing idealists in subsequent revisions? The drive to report the story first instead of right led to errors. Walter Cronkite labeled People's Temple as fascist. A New York Times article described Jim Jones' preaching as fundamentalist Christianity. And the Associated Press called the group religious zealots. We've mentioned that in the past podcast. In the intervening years, reconciling the initial reports with the words on the death tape to which Jones admonishes followers, this is not the way for people who are socialistic communists to die, and the scolded thanked him for allowing them to give their lives for communism, proved difficult. One historian settled on the facts and agreed that a group that taught Russian to its members, issued to socialism examinations, and willed millions of dollars to the Soviet Union did not mesh well with the Bible thumper label. Chroniclers shifted from obscuring the facts to offering unusual interpretations of them. In such books as A Sympathetic History of Jonestown and In Defense of People's Temple, Rebecca Moore attempts to separate Jim Jones from his followers and Jonestown from its grisly coda. In her past works advertise a revisionist bent in the titles. Understanding Jonestown and People's Temple does so on its cover. It depicts Jonestown chefs smiling over a meal, a nurse tending to a senior citizen, a white teacher instructing young black children, and an industrious young man making pottery. These cheerful images, rather than grim ones of piled corpse rotting in the jungle, presumably provide the true picture of the commune. Sister to two mistresses of Jim Jones, who helped him orchestrate revolutionary suicide, Moore, okay, so sister, this Rebecca Moore apparently was the sister to two of the mistresses of Jim Jones, who helped to orchestrate revolutionary suicide. Moore writes with a first-hand knowledge of the temple alongside an understandable consuming passion in the subject. She maintains that the criticisms of Jonestown as a concentration camp exaggerated some problems, while reality was not completely at odds with the facade presented in the glowing accounts. Other works, including the people, in other words, she was in denial to some degree, I think, as I think probably Laura Johnstone Cole is, because of her experience with some of the people there and having lived there and such. Hard to come to grips with it. Other works, including the PBS documentary Jonestown, The Life and Deaths of People's Temple, also portray the politics of the communards as a point in their favor. In their attempts to separate Harvey Milk from Jim Jones and People's Temple, historians and biographers have overlooked, downplayed, or flatly distorted the truth. Michael Belafontaine writes in A Lavender Look at the Temple. Hopefully, we will now begin to understand why Milk supported People's Temple and why we might want to reevaluate our criticisms of it. Unfortunately, the laudable aspects of People's Temple have been forgotten in the horrifying wake of Jonestown. Julia Shears writes, in A Thousand Lives, she posits, if anything, the people who moved to Jonestown should be remembered as noble idealists. That's not really how I remember them. I remember that picture of 900 corpses rotting in the sun. That's how I remember it, folks. She says, they wanted to create a better, more equitable society. See, the liberalism is still oozing out of some of these people. They still want to bring this socialistic paradise here to earth. rather than look to Christ and God's plan for salvation in the next life, and when Christ brings the millennial reign here. They wanted their kids to be free of violence and racism. They rejected sexist gender roles. They believed in a dream. And this is what Daniel Flynn wrote. Most people who wake up in a nightmare do. You know, they believed in a dream. But most people who wake up in a nightmare do. They believed in a dream and in their dreaming. Rather than the fate of people's temple sparking an epiphany about socialism, these authors instead reassess people's temple based on its commitment to socialism. In this one, one sees the ideological blinders that so many Americans wore in Guyana. No other way I would rather go than to give my life for socialism, communism, one man explains on the death tape. And I thank Dad, referring to Jim Jones, of course, Dad Jones, and I thank Dad very, very much. An act of nihilism became one of idealism, merely because a drugged-out man in dark glasses put a revolutionary suicide label on the Kool-Aid. Jonestown offers lessons if we listen. It occurred, as I write in Cult City, as a cautionary tale about ends rationalizing means, heaven on earth inevitably yielding to a less comfortable place, and the profound wrongs people imagine themselves as right can commit. And outsourcing thinking to an ideological or ideology or guru, not a factor mitigating their evil, socialism helped bring it about. And on the comment where he said, heaven on earth inevitably yielding to a less comfortable plan, they were trying to establish the kingdom on earth, as I've said before. The Antichrist will do this very thing for a season. He will have a short season in ruling the planet and bringing in the fake millennial, the fake kingdom on earth of Antichrist. And many of the socialized and the socialist believers in socialism and communism, the liberals, are trying to do this and helping to pave the way, I believe, for the Antichrist. The final comment he makes is that Jim Jones, who boasted of making the dead walk again, proved incapable of resurrecting his flock. Various revisionist histories prove impotent in this task also. So I think that this would be a terrific book. Having not read it, it sounds to me like it would be a terrific book and one which would share many of my sentiments. I don't know if Mr. Flynn is a Christian or believer, but I think politically I would share a lot of the same ideas that he shares. Now, I made some comments to close out this study that we've been looking at, looking at the Jonestown debacle, I should say. I wrote this along with climate change, Mother Earth type ideas as part of the religion of the left. Their so-called Christian religion ignores or redefines most of God's word and real prayer, substituting creative visualization, guided imagery, and contemplative or contemplative prayer. And of course, interfaith, the idea that all paths lead to God, and ecumenism, ignore Christ's clear command of only one way to God, John 14:6, which of course is one of my favorite verses that I often quote, that Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jim Jones's liberalism, atheism, and communism all fit nicely with their social gospel as well. One thing's for sure, all of this is just another lie from the left, from their father of lies. And having said that, trust me when I say, I used to be a liberal. I used to be part of the hippie movement. And my prayer would be that all people, left, right, or somewhere in between, all people could come to know salvation through Jesus Christ. And the way that they're going to learn is if we share it with them, we share the gospel in the time we have left, and that we would point them to the true gospel, not the social gospel. Sometimes I get angry because I see people deceived by these things, but trust me when I say I care about these people and I don't want to see anyone deceived. That's why I do this program. Now, just a little, since we don't have, well, we have a little time left, I'll just give you kind of an intro to next week's podcast, as we will beginning, we will begin a new little short series, and this is something, really a current event that was taking place at the time that I had actually planned on speaking to sooner. Someone actually had sent me an email, and they had said, "Wow, read this update from Carl Techribe regarding his recent visit to the World Parliaments of Religions. I've attended a range of events," and this is Carl speaking, "I've attended a range of events during the past 25 years, Christian conferences and liberty-minded events, and scores of interfaith, global government, and pagan gatherings. Some are featured in something referred to as the Game of God." Some of you are probably more familiar with that than I am. And that might be what Carl has actually done, something that he has actually produced. Anyway, he says, "And I've heard disparaging and disrespectful talk from all sides, and from myself, if I'm honest. But this parliament of the world's religions took the cake. Anger, vitriol, and venom poured from the gathering. Here's one example. A progressive," there we go, once again, progressive Christian, "progressive Baptist minister, utilizing the Buddhist mandala technique, created an art piece of Kali, the goddess of death and destruction, to express her hatred of the recently appointed Supreme Court judge and those who confirmed him. Then at the end of the week, with a group of religious progressives, they celebrated his hoped-for downfall with a dance invocation to Kali, the goddess of death and destruction. The parliament's theme was inclusion and love, but it was clear that this is only extended to those who conform to their narrative." And to me, this was very interesting, because shortly after that, someone else also sent me an email concerning the same event, the Parliament of World Religions, and that's why I wanted to comment on that event. And, I will be next week a little bit behind the times on that, as that event took place some months ago. But I look forward to sharing some of that with you and some of the information relating to that and the deception that's taking place both in the culture and in the church in these last days. God bless you all. I hope you'll join with us next week. Thank you. Good night.